Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about Bill Gates' response to Elon Musk's claims on the Joe Rogan podcast a couple weeks back that Elon Musk had heard that Bill Gates had been shorting Tesla stock. We've also got some news on the broader electric vehicle and automotive market, an interesting response from Elon on an article from the Washington Post, and of course we've got to talk about Tesla stock. It's been a wild couple of days. We had the interview yesterday with Alex Potter, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but of course yesterday, Tuesday, February 23rd, Tesla dropped to a low of $619 per share. That was down more than 13% from the prior day's close. Then, of course, we saw a swift recovery in the market and from Tesla. Tesla finishing down just 2% yesterday on the biggest volume day that we've seen in over a month and a half, with 66 million shares trading hands yesterday. So as I talked about on Monday, and we briefly talked about yesterday in the interview as well, a lot of this is tied to expectation on interest rates. So yesterday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell made comments to Congress indicating the current monetary policy is expected to continue at least for some time as economic uncertainty remains. So not to get too deep into that, we've talked about that, of course, in the past, but as far as Tesla goes, yesterday certainly was not isolated to Tesla. Those sort of sentiment concerns were broadly extended to high growth stocks. Tesla obviously falls in that category. And I think the volatility there serves as a nice quarterly reminder that you have to be very, very careful with stop losses on a volatile stock like Tesla. As for today, Tesla continued to rebound, finishing up 6.2% to $742.02. That compared to the NASDAQ up 1%. All right, so first up today, I want to continue a conversation that we began a couple weeks back after Elon Musk went on Joe Rogan's podcast for the third time and said that he had heard from people he believes would know that Bill Gates had shorted Tesla. Elon brought that up in response to a question from Joe Rogan on the Tesla Semi, citing that Bill Gates in a blog post a few months back had said that 18-wheel electric semis probably would never work. So Elon's claim here, understandably drawing a lot of attention, not the first time something like this has happened between Musk and Gates. Last year, he did buy his first electric vehicle, the Porsche Taycan, which at the time, maybe it wasn't so clear why he didn't buy an electric vehicle up until that point. Well, now we might have a better answer for that, but he talked about that decision in an interview with Marques Brownlee, and it seemed to be a relatively tepid endorsement of electric vehicles. Gates still brought up range anxiety as a problem, and Elon Musk responded to that interview, not necessarily Gates' purchase of the Taycan, but those comments in general, by saying that, quote, "My conversations with Gates have been underwhelming, to be honest," end quote. So that catches us up to today, and then we have Elon's claim that he heard Gates was short Tesla. Now in the last week, we've had both CNBC and Bloomberg ask Gates directly about that claim. I think Gates' tone is important in these responses, so I will play the actual clip, the first one here from Andrew Ross Sorkin, CNBC, asking Gates.
So you're not short Tesla stock, just so we're clear.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't talk about my investments, but I think he should be very proud of what he's done.
Okay, so technically there he did say, yeah, I'm not, but it sounded like he was more starting a sentence of saying, yeah, I'm not going to talk about my investments, not, yeah, I'm not short Tesla, because he interrupts himself and says, I don't want to talk about my investments. So to me, that's a no comment rather than a denial. What's interesting here is his reason, saying he doesn't want to talk about his investments, but in the exact same interview, he talks about his investments multiple times. He says, quote, "When I invested in Impossible Foods or Beyond Meat or QuantumScape, I was doing that just to help their role in climate. Now it looks like those three will be very successful companies, and so I'll have more money to put into the tough areas of climate, like cement and steel," end quote. Okay, so he says he doesn't want to talk about his investments, but then he, in response to another question, talks about his investments in Impossible Foods, Beyond Meat, QuantumScape, and then how well those investments are doing, and that he'll have more money to then go on and invest in other stuff. I mean, how much more could you talk about your investments? And he uses the first person tense here, saying, "I invested." He's then asked about Bitcoin, and he says, quote, "I don't own Bitcoin, I'm not short Bitcoin, so I've taken a neutral view," end quote. So for Bitcoin, perfectly fine to say, "I'm not short Bitcoin." Same question for Tesla. "Oh, I don't want to talk about my investments that we just spent a bunch of time talking about." If you're not going to answer the question, at least come up with a better non-answer that doesn't immediately contradict yourself. He has to have known that he would be asked about that, and yet seems completely caught off guard by having to answer. So that was last week, if there was any doubt left after that, because he did start off by saying, "Yeah, I'm not," before interrupting himself, as we said. Here is Gates on Bloomberg yesterday, so we had 5 days to think about this, answering the same question from Emily Chang.
"Elon has in the past claimed you shorted Tesla, and I wonder if there's any truth to that."
Well, you know, I think Tesla's an amazing company. I wish I'd, you know, been more on the long side, but, you know, it's great. And, you know, I have lots of relatives who own Teslas that I've helped buy for them. So, you know, nothing but positive thoughts about Tesla and its role.
Okay, so if the answer to the CNBC question was a bit of a flub, there was a clear opportunity to just say, hey, I'm not short Tesla, wasn't short Tesla. And again, Gates passes, and he sure doesn't look comfortable to me answering the question. My belief is that it looks pretty clear that Bill Gates was short Tesla. Who knows if he still is? I'd be surprised. But come on, how are you going to be all about climate change and then short the one company that's maybe doing more than any other company on Earth to combat it? If you don't think it's a good investment, you think it's overvalued, you can just not invest in it. No one has any problem with that. But to short it, push the stock price down, make it more difficult for Tesla to raise capital, that's something else entirely. I do want to be sure to include the full context here. So Gates did have some positive things to say about Musk and about Tesla, saying that Tesla's got a strong product and they've forced other car makers to look at Tesla and see if they can match it, and about climate change, saying that to solve it, we need hundreds of Elon Musks. Anyway, that's where we'll leave that topic, but I guess let's switch over to Jeff Bezos. Bezos, of course, owns the Washington Post, which yesterday posted an article critiquing Elon Musk, suggesting that he is stretched too thin, trying to point to the fact that Musk is less involved on the factory floor these days as a sign that he's less present. Yeah, I'm sure there could be no other possible explanation for that, like maybe production is going more smoothly. They then go on to do things like quote Ed Niedermeyer, who if you're familiar with, it'd be hard to find someone that's been more wrong about Tesla. This is a guy that ran a blog called the Tesla Death Watch, for example. And then, and this one's my favorite one, having the audacity to write quote, in a regulatory filing in February, the company highlighted the risk it faces by relying so much on Musk. Quote, we are highly dependent on the services of Elon Musk, our chief executive officer, and largest stockholder, Tesla said in the filing, in language unusual for the way it cited a corporate CEO's numerous outside commitments. Quote, although Mr. Musk spends significant time with Tesla and is highly active in our management, he does not devote his full time and attention to Tesla. End quote. That regulatory filing that they make sound special, well, that's the 10K, gets filed every year. And that language that they call unusual, that has been in Tesla's 10K every single year, verbatim, for the last decade. Every single one, as far back as they go, 2011. Thanks, Washington Post, for letting us know about that groundbreaking regulatory filing this month with, unusual language. Washington Post knows that this is just a normal disclosure in a 10K. There are hundreds of disclosures in those things. It's just clearly being written with the intent to deceive. Few things, as you can probably tell, make me more upset. Anyway, the article feels like it was plucked straight out of 2018. We don't need to refute line by line. Been there, done that. But anyway, the reason I brought it up was because of Elon's response, which got some attention elsewhere. So the Washington Post writes, quote, in response to email seeking comment, Musk replied only, quote, give my regards to your puppet master, end quote. So that brings us full circle back around to Jeff Bezos, again, the owner of the Washington Post. Though the Post and Bezos himself have said that he has no influence on the content in the Post, that certainly seems to be Musk's implication. Not a whole lot more to add to that, I guess, but thought it was kind of a funny response there from Musk, drove some headlines yesterday. And I suppose it fits in well here after talking about Gates versus Musk. Now we get Bezos versus Musk. Sticking with themes here, we'll stay with Washington, but we'll move over from Washington, D.C., where the Post is based, now to Washington State. Just a quick update here, but there is a Washington State House bill, which would require the sale and registration of all light vehicles under 10,000 pounds by the year 2030 to be all electric, which has passed by a vote of 17-12 in the legislative body's Transportation Committee to now advance to the next stage. So, not a law yet. It does appear that the bill still has a ways to go, but something to keep an eye on. If this were to eventually pass, this would be the soonest mandate from any state. California has, of course, set a deadline for 2035, but that was through an executive order process rather than through legislation. So that's potentially a little bit less firm than this could eventually be for Washington State. Next update here is from Green the Only on Twitter, who has again found a little bit of interesting information in Tesla's firmware. Green writes, quote, Tesla is preparing to move profile items to the cloud, so when you get into any Tesla car, your profile migrates with you, based on your phone app, I imagine. This includes games and other app settings and such in particular, end quote. No big surprise to see this. It's an obvious step for Tesla as they move towards the Tesla network, but the fact that they intend to go as far as including things like progress in games gives some insight into how Tesla is thinking about that future, and this isn't the first clue that we've had that they view entertainment as a big part of that. Next here is a report on Tesla batteries from Equal Ocean. This is kind of relevant to the conversation that I had with Alex Potter yesterday and Tesla's battery suppliers and how much Tesla will leverage them or not in the future. Of course, we've had prior reports about suppliers working on 4680 batteries for Tesla. This report here says, quote, LG Energy Solutions has recently begun to build a pilot production line for Tesla 4680 batteries, according to the ELEC, a South Korean media report, end quote. They also note that LG is likely to invest a similar amount of money as Panasonic is planning to invest in their 4680 production, and that, quote, LG aims to compete with the pilot line before Panasonic starts mass production of batteries, end quote. So from all the reporting that we've had so far, it continues to look like the race is on. 4680s between LG, Panasonic, can throw CATL in there as well, and Tesla's own battery production. I know a lot of people are really excited about 2021 and the prospects for Tesla to maybe deliver as many as a million vehicles, but I think 2022 is going to be the really eye-opening year. We're going to have the Cybertruck come online. We're going to have Giga Texas, Giga Berlin really starting to ramp up. Shanghai Phase 1 and Phase 2 will be at a full production rate. We'll have the Semi, hopefully the Roadster, the Plaid Plus, and maybe Dojo comes online as well. So a lot to look forward to there. Anyway, last thing for today, Reuters reported this morning that, quote, President Joe Biden said on Wednesday he would seek $37 billion in funding for legislation to supercharge chip manufacturing in the United States, as a shortfall of semiconductors has forced U.S. automakers and other manufacturers to cut production, end quote. Interestingly, continuing on here, quote, Biden's executive order launched a 100-day review of supply chains for four critical products, semiconductor chips, large-capacity batteries for electric vehicles, rare earth minerals, and pharmaceuticals, end quote. Obviously, a lot of relevance to Tesla within those categories. Not exactly sure what the government could do to help improve the supply of batteries for EVs. Time to scale seems to be the biggest constraint there currently, but it looks like there may be some government funding opening up in that area at some point. It's a 100-day review, so I guess we'll check back on that in June. But that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, February 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.